Praise the Lord, everybody. Wherever you are, praise the Lord. Right in your home, right in your kitchen, right in your bedroom, throw your hands up and give God praise. For this is the day that the Lord has made, and we ought to rejoice and be glad in it. I'm excited to bring the word of the Lord to you today. At such a time of unprecedented change, we've seen so much just in the last few weeks, and we've seen so much over the last year, but it is a new year and it is a new time. And I want to let somebody know that change is here. Regardless of how you feel about it, there's nothing that you can do about it. Change is inevitable and it is here. And today I want to talk with you about that in just a few moments as we go to the word of the Lord. And I want you to join me on whatever device you got, your phone, your iPad, your laptop, however you're streaming this service. I want you to join me, grab your Bible, whether it's digital or the actual old book, and go with me to Romans, the 12th chapter. The book of Romans, Romans 12, and I'm going to read verses 1 and 2 and preach from there. And I'm excited about what the Spirit of the Lord has to say to the church today, and I cannot wait for him to transform us through the word and through this experience and through this encounter of worship as we come together to gather together to fellowship. And even though we're not in one place, we are on one accord. For the Bible says that if any two or three would gather together in his name concerning anything, that he would show up in the midst of us. And since we gather together, albeit virtually, in his name, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, concerning anything, he's going to show up right where you are. So whatever the thing is, if you got a thing, I don't care what the thing is, and you want to bring it before the Lord today as we come together in fellowship and in gathering, and we link agreement, I with you and you with me and we with one another, the Spirit of the living God is going to show up right where you are. And I pray, touch you, heal you, set you free, deliver you, encourage you, build you up, strengthen you in the name of Jesus Christ. Romans, the 12th chapter, verses 1 and 2 is where we're going to be coming from. I'm reading from the King James Version. And the Bible says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove, that you may prove, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I want to preach right from that spot in verse 2. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For the next few moments we have together, I want to preach to you from the subject entitled, Change is Here. Change is here. It's not coming. It's not on the way. It is here. Change is here. Let's pray. Spirit of the living God, we thank you for this moment in time, this opportunity that's been set for us to receive the word of God. We pray that your spirit permeates every atmosphere, for you are omnipresent. Meet people right where they are, in their living room, in their bathroom, in their kitchen, in their bedroom, in their dens, in their cars, in their offices, wherever they are hearing this word. Saturate that very place with your presence, Father God. As the word comes forth, let it separate soul from spirit and discern the intentions of our heart. Let it do the necessary work, Father, to change us so that we can be conformed to the image of your Son, transformed by the renewing of our minds. Our hearts are open to receive it. Our ears are anointed to hear what the Spirit has to say to the church. We let go of every distraction so that we can hear the direction and the correction and the instruction that the Spirit of God wants to give us today. And we thank you in advance for what you're going to accomplish through this word in our lives. In Jesus' name, if you're gathered wherever you are, go ahead and say amen. I am enamored with Paul's writing in the book of Romans, because in the first 11 chapters, Paul is giving us a systematic theological approach to understanding all that God has done for us, to understand that we are saved by grace through faith. He's giving us an understanding that God had an eternal purpose in the earth, and what the first Adam could not accomplish, the second Adam was able to do, being Jesus Christ. He comes and brings us to the understanding of how much power sin no longer has over the life of the believer, because Jesus has become the remedy of that sin. And even when we're dealing with some of our most difficult things that are within us, even when we're dealing with our own demons and our better angels are not being exhibited, and we're wondering who shall save us, O wretched man that we are, he reminds us that if we are in Christ, there's therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walks after the Spirit and not after the flesh. And as he begins to sum up his approach to this theological framework of what God has done for us, he reminds us that it is the Spirit that bears witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God. And when we don't know what to pray, the Spirit of God is making intercession for us. And he reminds us that all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. He is reminding us of the goodness of God that is in operation in our life, regardless of the times we are in, regardless of the guilt or the shame we might feel, the goodness of God still operating in our lives. And it is not lost on me that Paul goes through this ordeal, because in Romans 12, he makes a shift. He makes a shift to a more practical stance of what must be done now based upon what the Lord has done for us. If God changed all of this for us, how much are we willing to change for him? This is what the argument that Paul is trying to make, and he's making it in Romans 12 quite eloquently. And he says in this opening words, I beseech you, I urge you, brethren, therefore, the reason he says therefore is because there's something that precedes this comment. And what precedes this comment is not just in verse 11, but it's in verses 1 through 11. And he says, therefore, when I think of therefore, I think of if God be for me, who can be against me? Therefore, when I think of therefore, I think of there's therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. When I think of therefore, I think about hoping against all hope. When I think about therefore, I think about all the things that he wrote that preceded this statement that brings him to the conclusion of saying, therefore, by the mercies of God, present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Paul is making the argument that since God has done this, you ought to be willing to do that. Since God changed all of this, what are you willing to change? And that's the question that he poses in front of us, not quite as a question, but the inference is you ought to do this. Because God has done that. And he sums it up by saying, this is acceptable unto God. It's a reasonable act of worship. It's a reasonable service that we would present our bodies a living sacrifice. Change is everywhere. It's everywhere. 2020 has taught us that change comes inevitably. Who knew that the pandemic would come and upend normal life for millions, millions, millions of people? Who knew, who saw, who discerned that something would come and shake the entire world to the point where we could never get back to normal if we tried? They can open up the restaurants, they'll open up the schools, the church will get open back up again, but it will never be the same. And the question I have for you today is that as the world has changed, will you be the same in it? And Paul is giving us a challenge to answer the times in which we live in, to understand that change is not our enemy. And though we might be afraid of it, it is occurring at this very moment. It is here. It ain't coming. It's here. And it's a constant. It's all encompassing. It touches everything. And it has different effects on different places. It's like the shore of the sea. Every time something washes in, something else is washing back out. That's how change feels. The key is for you not to feel like you're being swept away in it or carried off in it. The key is to understand whether you're being brought to the forefront or whether you're coming out on the other side, whether you're being brought to the forefront and it's your time, or whether you're coming out of the other side and your time is up. Regardless of where you are in that process, in that ebb and flow of change, you have to see, you have to believe, you have to perceive that you're not being swept up in it. You have to believe that you're still going to be able to move forward regardless of where you are in the ebb and flow of change. This is why Paul writes and shifts his tone in chapter 12 to the church at Rome, because he's trying to get them to understand this is a different way of doing things. So he jolts everyone by saying, present your bodies a living sacrifice. He's using temple terms with a different practice. You don't present your body as a living sacrifice in temple terms. You present the lamb or the goat or the bird or the bull, whatever the offering called for. That's what you would present as a sacrifice, but not yourself. And this is what Paul is saying to us. He's saying, change is here. Are you willing to change? As I start off this lesson, this message for us today, I started off with this question: are you willing to change? The reason why you're not willing to change is because when change occurs, you feel like your life is being swept up in the ebb and flow of it, and you have no choice in the change, but you do. You have a choice to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. You have a choice to let go of the reins and the controls. You have a choice to let God be God, because you can trust God in the middle of the change, and you can trust that he can reposition you at the right time, at the right place. And you ought to trust that the God we serve has enough power to get you to where you long to be and long to go. Even though it might not be the way you prefer, he can still get you there. He has the power to reposition you at the right time in the right place. If you allow me this prophetic digression for just a moment to incline your ear to the word of the Lord, get ready to be repositioned. God is about to put you at the right place at the right time with the right people doing the right thing. And if you are open to the change, it's going to lead you to somewhere good. Every time something occurs, every time we turn on the news, every time we hear about an incident, every time we hear about some unprecedented thing that is happening in our world that has never happened before, is letting us know that the times have changed. The times have changed so much that angry mobs stormed our Capitol only to keep things the same for fear of the change. I don't want to bore you with data and statistics, but we're so afraid of change that we are willing to harm everything and tear everything down for fear of change. But might I remind you what the Bible says in Psalm 75? The Bible says it is he who puts down one and exalts another, not you. He sets up kings and he removes kings, not you. Might I remind you that God has the power to raise some up, and God has the power to suppress others. And whenever we're getting ready to trade places, whenever we're getting ready to move, you have to know that God does it without manipulation. God does it without terror. God does it without destruction. Change always has God in the midst of it. Oh, I wish you hear me. He's in the midst of change right now. And let's take this away from a political framework, from a world framework, from our nation's framework, and bring it right down to your street. Because sometimes when in the moment of change and when we're ebbing out, we think that God is not in it with us or that he forgets to check in on us. But he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'll be with you to the end. And even if you don't see it, God is in the midst of change right now in your life. Do you remember Jacob? And the Bible says in Genesis 28 and 16 that the Lord was in this place and I did not know it. God can be in a place that you have no discernment of. He could be right there with you and you don't even know. Jacob said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I didn't know it. And he's right in the place where you are, in the midst of your change. Even if your change feels like you're being dislocated, even if your change is leading you to a place of disappointment, even if the change leads you to a place of brokenness, God is in the midst of it. Even if change has brought you to a place of sickness, he's still right there. If you're in a place of divorce, he's still right there. If you got laid off of your job, he's still right there. If you're lonely, if you're anxious, he's still right there. And you might be wondering, God, why? If you're there, is this so hard? Is this so difficult? Is this so rough? Why, if you're there, are things going the way that they're going? David said it this way, if I make my bed in hell, God is there. If I take the wings and fly to the uttermost parts of the sea, God is there. Even if the darkness is encamped around about me, the Bible says even there shall God's right hand lead me and guide me. I'm there. And you're saying, God, if you're there, if you're in my place of bewilderment, if you're in my place of frustration, if you're in my place of confusion, then if you're in my place of lack, then why do I feel confused? Why do I feel this lack, this disappointment, this bewilderment, this frustration? If you are there, could it be he's there, but you're not willing to change? I know that's a hard thing. I know. It's a trying thing. I know it's a confusing thing that God's presence could be in the place that you don't realize. And that his very presence in Jacob's case, I'm not preaching about it, just an introduction, could even bring you to a place of pain because it will have to touch your thigh to change you. God's not judging you nor rejecting you. He's trying to get you to change. He's not even angry with you. He just sees more in you. But the change is up to you. It's never up to him. You are the apple of God's eye. You're etched in the palm of his hand is what the Bible says. But the change is always up to you. The change is not up to God. It's up to you. That's why Paul said, God can do all these things for you and you still won't be willing to change. He can save you. He can heal you. He can set you free and you still choose to be the same. So my question to you is, are you willing to change? Are you willing to have a different mindset? Are you open to a different possibility? Are you willing to let go of your preference and grab hold of God's purpose? Are you willing to change? Because how you respond to the change will determine everything that happens in your life. Change is inevitable. And the word change normally refers to new beginnings. So we like it at first, But the mystery of transformation more often happens not when something new begins, but when something old falls apart. And when something old begins to fall apart, we take our hands off of the change that's happening because we don't want anything to fall apart. What is in your life right now that actually needs to fall apart so that something new can begin? The pain of something old fall apart, you can call it chaos, you can call it disruption, you can call it dislocation, whatever adjective you want to use to describe it, invites the soul to listen at a deeper level. Because if it wasn't for the disruption, if it wasn't for the chaos, if it wasn't for the thing that happened, you might not be open to listen to learning something different, to learning something new. It forces the soul to go to a new place. Most of us would never go to that place. Most of us would never go that way. Most of us would never pick that spot. We would never choose to travel that road if we weren't disrupted. If Paul wasn't knocked off his high horse on the road to Damascus, then perhaps he never becomes Apostle Paul and yet remains Saul. If Jesus never picks Peter's boat, then perhaps he remains Simon. If he never chooses to walk away from his profession as a fisherman, then perhaps he never becomes the Apostle Peter. What are you willing to give up? What are you willing to do to change? We do anything, and I mean everything and anything, we do anything and everything to keep something old from falling apart, whether it's a relationship that you had it up to here with, whether it's a job that you can't stand, whether it's a place where you don't feel wanted or loved. You'll still go there. You'll still do it. You'll still be a part of it. It's because it's normal. And you've normalized the thing that frustrates you to the point that you're not willing to let it go. And when faced with new opportunity and new moments that can transform your whole life, you're too afraid to do it. Because in order for that to happen, what you're used to has to fall apart. Lord, have mercy. I'm talking right now. And when that happens, we don't exhibit the patience and the guidance that is necessary. And moreover, the freedom to let go. Instead, we tighten our controls and our certitudes and our platitudes. And everything that we've come to know, we hold on to it tightly, simply for the fear of perhaps this was not correct, right? This wasn't the right way. This wasn't the right thing. But perhaps, Jesus is talking about this in Matthew's gospel when he says to us, it is a narrow gate and a hard road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Oh, Lord, have mercy. He mentions this narrow road, and it wasn't by accident that he did it. He mentions this narrow road right after teaching the golden rule. You remember the golden rule? Love your neighbor as yourself. Why? Because he knows how much power there is in letting go and how much it takes to let go to treat others like you want to be treated. When we saw the storming on the Capitol, we saw an angry mob of people who aren't willing to let go. To let go of the way they think or thought the government should run. Based upon democracy, based upon the right for an individual to vote. Christians, I love you, but being a Christian doesn't mean you have to be tied to one political affiliation. And you're not being persecuted because of your beliefs as a Christian. Christians in China are being persecuted. Christians in the United States are not. You're not being persecuted because you are a Christian. You're being held accountable because you're not acting like Christ. Jesus says it's a narrow gate And it's narrow because of the inability to let go of your control. Trying to force a president to remain president tells God he's not God. If the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord and he turns it however he wants, then who are we to tell God who can't be in power if he raises up kings and he takes them down? I love you, and so does God, but you're wrong on this one. We got to get back to being the believers that God has called us to be. And Paul challenges us here by saying, present your body, your whole life, as a living sacrifice. Lay down those flawed ideologies. Because there are Democratic Christians, and there are Republican Christians, and there are independent Christians, and there are libertarian Christians, and there are Christians with no political affiliation. I thought we were blood washed and blood bought. And if you're not that, take down the banner of the blood and put up the banner of your political group and let go of your power in the God you say you serve, because that is not the God that we serve. It is not God. And Paul is challenging all of us in this moment of great change. It is a moment where we have to define once and for all, that if we are believers, we are that. And we love people of all races and all creeds and all religions, which is why you constantly saw Jesus hanging out with people who didn't have a title called Christian. The times of great change demand that we change. Because if we step into this moment, if we step into this time only wanting to return back to normal, church as normal, life as normal, marriage as normal, business as normal, we will miss the opportunities that the disruption has brought. And that's for God to do a new thing. And we will refuse the expansion of our wineskins for new wine to be poured in. And when God releases the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in this new reformation that's about to take place, when God brings this awakening to the body and to the world, and the Spirit of the living God is poured out upon the earth, and our sons and daughters are beginning to prophesy, and our old men are dream dreams, you get to begin to understand what will begin to happen is we will completely and totally block the next wave and move of God. Because we're so busy trying to keep things the same. It's in moments of insecurity and crisis that you got to let go of your shoulds and your would-haves and your could-haves and your ought-haves, because they don't help. They just increase the shame and the guilt and the pressure and the likelihood of going back into unhealthy patterns and crying out for help. And when you don't get it, blame everybody. Instead of letting the word help turn into hope and putting your request before the Lord so that his peace can transcend your understanding and you can keep practicing moving forward while waiting for him to show up. You got to give God that deep yes. And that's what Paul is talking about in this moment. He's saying, present your body a living sacrifice. Give them all of you. Your fears, your worries, your concerns, everything you're battling, everything you're dealing with, give them everything. It's the only way you're going to get carried to the other side. You have to give it up. You have to let go. You have to let go of the anger and the fear and the pain. You have to let go of the addiction to being right. You have to let go of the way you want things to go. And trust that God is in the midst of the change. He's in the midst of it all. So Paul says, present your bodies as a living sacrifice. This is a reasonable thing. I'm not asking you to do nothing hard. I'm asking you to do something reasonable. And as you present your body as a living sacrifice, as you do that, that you choose not to be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Yeah. That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Paul is taking us from change to transition. Because it's not change so much that's the real difficult thing, as much as it is the transitions. See, change is happening all around us. And we might not even understand it all. But transitions is the emotional, relational, psychological process of change. I want you to understand that real quick. It is whenever we go through a change in life, it's not the change that messes us up, but rather the transition. Oh, Lord have mercy. My wife, we had two kids, and my first child, Michael, when she was pregnant with him, I saw her body change. Anybody that's pregnant, your body is going to change, whether you like it or not. It's coming. And as I saw her body change, none of that was an issue. None of that was a problem. I didn't have a problem with her body doing whatever it wanted to do until she started going through transition. When she started going through transition, not only was her body changing, but it was changing in real time. And she was going through the emotional and the psychological process of the change of birthing something that was on the inside of her. It wasn't until the time of the birth that she started doing a whole bunch of weird and crazy stuff in the room when it came time for my son to be born, because her body was going through all these ebbs and flows of hot and cold, and everything was happening. And the midwife was sitting at the bedside and telling me she's going through transition. I said, well, transition does not look good and it doesn't look pretty. And I sat there helpless, as most men are in this case, trying to do whatever I can to make her comfortable. And everybody left the room, and the midwife told us that it was going to be hours and hours of transition. And my wife looked at me and stood up and started walking in the room and said, it ain't going to be no hours. I'm about to have this baby. And in 22 minutes after the midwife left, my son was coming out, so much so that I had to run down the hall to get the doctors and the midwife. Why am I telling you that story? Because I'm trying to tell somebody it's not going to be that much time till you birth what God has put on the inside of you. You are in position. You are getting ready. And the unease that you feel is because of the transition that you are in. And you are going through it emotionally. You're going through it psychologically. And it's all happening to you. And it's throwing you off. And you're trying to stop the transition. That's where you mess up. Don't stop the transition. See, transition takes us to unexpected places. It's the real enemy here. It's the real issue. And that's what Paul is addressing to the church. That all that God has done for us has taken us to an unexpected place. Don't fear an unexpected place. Oh, God, I'm talking to somebody right now. Don't you fear this unexpected place, because that's the place of transformation. That's the place where everything really changes. See, transitions are eternal. They are invisible. It's not like change. You can see the change happening all around you. When 9/11 occurred, everything changed. Travel changed forever. The pandemic is going to change that again. It's going to change how we worship. It's going to change how we do school. It's going to change how we do business. It's going to change everything. And what you and I have to do is not be so fearful of the transition and the messiness of it. As you encounter change, you have to be aware of what's happening on the inside of you. How are you dealing with it emotionally and relationally and psychologically? How are you dealing with it financially? Those are all eternal things. Transition brings with it new pain. Oh, I'm preaching now. When you get into transition, you go through new pain, and it's uncomfortable. It doesn't feel good, and you're hurting, and you don't even understand where or why. And you're dealing with new problems and new sets of circumstances. And it's all internal. And all change requires transition. You cannot have change without transition. It requires these internal adjustments that when we have to make them, our flesh recoils, which is why Paul said, present your body, all of you, as a living sacrifice. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Because when the change comes, all I want to do is go back to what I was doing. Peter said, I'm going back to fishing. I'm going back to knowing all this disruption, all this upheaval, all this killing and cross stuff. I ain't here for it. I'm going back to fishing. Because change brings you to a place where you don't want to go. It brings you to a place where you don't want to be. It brings you to a place of new pain where you have to make these eternal adjustments. You ought to begin to make all the adjustments that are necessary for where God is about to take you. But here's the good news. Here it is. You are anointed to adjust. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Change is here, but you are anointed to adjust. There's no need for you to throw a fit. There's no need for you to hang on to conspiracy theories. There's no need for you to be the victim. There's no need for you to play the blame game. You are anointed to adjust. You can make all of the necessary changes internally that are required for you to prove what is that good and acceptable will of God. Yeah, you can make all of the internal adjustments that are necessary for you to respond to the external changes that are going on. You can make all of the adjustments that are required for where God is trying to take you to. You are anointed to adjust. You ought to put right there in the comments. You ought to shout it out aloud. I'm anointed to adjust. God built you to be able to adjust. He created you with the capacity to adjust. You are not fixed. You are not static. You are dynamic as a human being, which means you can adapt and you can adjust. You can change. The question is, are you willing to? Are you willing to? And if you're willing to do it, he gives us something real powerful that we can hold on to. He says to us, then you will prove what is that good and acceptable will of God. I want you to know that he didn't say you will know what the will of God is. He said you will prove it. When you begin to make your adjustments, when you begin to go through your transitions, when you begin to do all of the internal things that are necessary, the Bible says, then you will prove what is that good and acceptable will of God. That means that you can be bent back and not broken. That means life can come at you and blow its winds and blow you back and blow you down and make some things look like they're never going to come back or bounce back up, but you're going to bounce back after all of this. And as I've said it before, you're not going to just bounce back. You're going to bounce beyond anything that you can possibly imagine. And so you have to remain flexible in this season. You have to remain adaptable in this season so that you can make the necessary adjustments to prove what is that good and acceptable will of God. That's how you respond to the change, and that's how you respond to the transition. You have to first adapt. So when you adapt, if you allow me to run this down, and I'm about to close this thing out, but you have to first adapt. You must always be willing to adapt, because the conditions of change requires you to stay fast and to stay flexible and to stay nimble. That's what it means to adapt. If you're going to increase, if your life is going to increase, if you're refusing to turn back to return to normal, because normal is synonymous with average, you will never be able to increase what's in your hand until you can increase what's in your head and what's in your heart. And if you can increase what's in your head and your heart, then you can increase what's in your hand. Am I talking to somebody? You have to be willing to adapt. And the first place you got to adapt is your mind. Do you know, as a human being, you have unlimited potential? Potential is the untapped stuff, the untapped talents and untapped gifts and untapped ideas that you have not implemented. You, as a human being, has unlimited potential. That means your potential does not change. Therefore, your mindset has to. If your potential is unlimited and you haven't tapped into it, it requires you then to have a mental shift, and that requires you to adapt. And so you have to change. You have to increase what's in your head and what's in your heart so that you can increase what's in your hand. When we see times of change, we want to reevaluate everything. We want to re-engineer everything. We want everything to be reconstructed except us. And Paul is challenging us in this moment that, yes, change is here, but you got to change you. And so he says, if you can present your body as a living sacrifice, which is a reasonable service, if you lay everything down before God, then you can be transformed by the renewing of your mind while simultaneously refusing to be conformed to the image of the world. There's a world outside of you that you cannot control, and you're letting that world dictate the changes that you make. But there's a world inside of you that you have total control over, and you have to make the internal adjustments so that the external things that are going on the outside don't affect what's happening on the inside. And if you can take what's happening on the inside, then you can change everything that's happening to you on the outside. Am I helping somebody? You have to improve, is what I'm trying to say. And you have to make the improvement of yourself your aim and your goal. Always getting better, always doing better, always looking for a way to grow and to mature. That's what Paul is telling us. You have to adapt. And if you can adapt, then you can connect. Oh, God, you can connect. What am I connecting to? What is the good will of God? God does have a will for your life. And it's not up for you to know it. It's up for you to prove it. And you prove it by changing. Oh, God, I'm talking better than somebody. You prove it by changing, by trusting God, by saying, God, I trust you, even though I can't trace you. I trust you. I'll make the changes. I'll do what's necessary. I'll let go. I won't hold on to these fears and to this anxiety. I won't hold on to this hate. I won't hold on to this worry. I'll change. It's the only way you're going to be able to connect. That's just not a connection to God, but also to the people that are a part of your purpose. That's also to the place that's a part of your purpose. That's also to the timing that's a part of your purpose. You have to connect. And when you connect, it will challenge you to keep letting go, to take that narrow path that's so hard. But when you adapt and you connect, you get yourself ready for an adventure. Oh, God. And if you will allow me for just the next 2 minutes to tell you deep down in your spirit and deep down in your soul, get ready for your next adventure. God is about to take you on an adventure, an opportunity of a lifetime, the thrill of your life. If you are open and willing to change, you're about to discover that you had wings you never knew you had. Paul said that if you can present your body as a living sacrifice, which is a reasonable act of worship, and if you're not conformed to the image of this world, but transformed by the renewing of your mind, then you can prove that good and acceptable will of God. He's used the word transform, that in the Greek is the word metamorphosize. I came to tell somebody, get ready for your transformation. I only brought you information by way of revelation so that you can get ready for your transformation, that everything in your life is about to be transformed. When you're metamorphosized, that first means that everything in your life must first fall apart. That is the great collapse. That is the dislocation and disruption of everything that you know as normal. But when you leave that stage, you go through the messiness of it all. And the messiness of it all makes you face disappointment because it looks like it's never going to be put back together. I got good news for somebody. First, let me tell you, it's not going to be put back together the way you want it to be put back together, because it's not going to be the same, but it's going to be put back together as a new creation. Old things passed away, and behold, all things are about to be made new. Your finances, yes, are going to be put back together, but they're going to be put back together in a new and powerful way. Not the way you prefer, but the way God purposed. Transformation is ugly and it's messy. It's like a caterpillar becoming a butterfly. When a caterpillar becomes the butterfly, everything that the caterpillar knew in its old season first falls apart, and it finds itself wrapped in a cocoon. That cocoon is a place of safety, because when you're going through your adaptation, when you're going through your adjustments, it's an internal thing. Everybody is not privy to what's happening on the inside. They can only see the cocoon on the outside. The cocoon isn't pretty. That means everybody talks about the cocoon, but they don't know that there's shelter on the inside of the cocoon. They don't know that God is doing a new thing on the inside. You might be talking about me on the outside, but God is doing a new thing on the inside. And when I break out of this cocoon, I'm gonna be something that you ain't never seen before. And you're going to be looking for me to come out the same, but God is looking for me to come out totally and completely different. That's why you aren't worried about your critics and your naysayers and all of the people who are talking about you in this season, because they don't see what God is doing on the inside. You ought to throw your hands up at this very moment and say, God, thank you for what you're doing on the inside. Though it's messy, it's still going to wind up being a miracle. Though it's messy, I'm still going to discover I got some wings I never knew about. As the caterpillar goes through its cocoon stage, it decomposes on the inside. And the only thing that makes it put itself back together again is the DNA code that it carried with in itself the entire time. I don't care how much in your life looks like it has fallen apart. You already got the DNA code on the inside of you to put it all back together. There are these two things inside of the caterpillar called imaginal disc. And those discs carry all of the DNA code that's necessary for it to put all of the decomposed pieces back together again. And I came to tell somebody this morning that change is here. And while it's here, you don't need to fear it, because God has given you the power to put it all back together again. And as you begin to break out of your cocoon, as you begin to break out of your dark season, as you begin to break out of this moment of uncertainty, you're going to break out completely changed, with colors and wings to take flight. And there's going to be a moment of uncertainty when you come out. Because if you ever saw a butterfly, when it's birthed, is hanging on to the cocoon, is holding on to the thing that covered it, because it doesn't yet realize it could fly. Don't go back to the ground. Take flight. The ground is no longer where you live. God is taking you to a new level. And it's time for you to take flight. It's time for you to prove what is that good and acceptable will of God. Change is here. It's here. We're never going back. We're never going back. Change is here. Won't you change with it? Won't you go through the process of adapting and adjusting so that you can discover your next assignment? Adapt. Adjust. God has an assignment for you. But this assignment requires that you soar. It requires that you fly, not walk. And I pray today that you'll mount up like wings on an eagle. And you'll soar to your next assignment. And don't fear the change and the transition and the disappointments and the setbacks and being dislocated. And just don't sit back and point the finger and blame everybody, but you stand up in this moment and say, God, I trust you enough to change. And I present my body to you. Everything I am, my anointings, my gifts, my calling, everything that I am, I present it to you. And I say, have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. For thou art the potter and I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I'm waiting, yielded and still. Let God have his way in your life. Make the change, adapt, adjust in Jesus' name. I pray this word blessed you. I pray it encouraged you. I pray it lifted you up. I pray it challenged you, and I pray it brought you correction. I pray for some it brought you to a place of repentance. But I pray most of all that it brings you to a place of love. I love you. God loves you. God loves you, and it's time for you to change, because change is here. I pray that as you think about those things and bring your heart back to God, your mind, your will, lay down that will and pick his up. Have your mind renewed in this moment. And you be transformed, metamorphosized, completely and totally something new. So much so you can't get back to what you was. I'm never seen a caterpillar become a butterfly, then become a caterpillar again. Once you're changed, you're changed. And I pray that you get changed today, a new mindset, to move in massive momentum towards your next assignment and what God has for your life. In Jesus' name, amen. Brothers and sisters, would you consider being a blessing to this ministry by sowing financially into it? Whether you're tithing or you're giving, you are advancing the kingdom of God and the assignment we have as a church. Your seed today will help us to be able to help all of those in need, keep our ministry open, and keep preaching the gospel unto you. You can give by texting GiveKLC to 73256, or you can go to our website and click on the giving icon, download our church app, which is free and available to you on iTunes or Google. And you can give on that platform as well, or you can mail it into the ministry. However you want to do it as unto the Lord. And may God bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you. May God be gracious unto you and give you peace. May he surround you with his favor like a shield. May his angels encamp themselves round about you and his precious blood cover you and yours from now to eternity. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you, and we will see you soon.